Good morning. Bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, October the 7th, 2018. I wanted to share a little bit on children of light. As 1 John 1:5 tells us, God is light. As sons of God, through the new birth, that would make us children of light. Natural man, the man of the five senses, does not have the capacity for spiritual light. Hence, to really understand and receive light, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again or born from above. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Father means a nourisher, a protector, and an upholder. Metaphorically, a father is the originator and transmitter of anything, the author of a family or society of persons animated by the same spirit as himself. John 4:24 declares to us that God is spirit. God is holy, and he is spirit. Therefore, our need is to receive Holy Spirit, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is his gift to be received at the new birth. In order to physically see, we must have an organ that has the capacity to process light, color, shapes in the brain where they are organized and transfer a message. If that organ becomes damaged, the message is obscured and cannot be understood. So that organ would need to be repaired. Some of us have had to get glasses because our organ of seeing has been impaired and we have to get it back so we can see and read and locate things the way we should. Similarly, spiritual light is received by that gift of Holy Spirit that's in us and relayed by the Christ in us to in the brain, where they are organized to transfer a message. If that organ is damaged, the message is obscured and cannot be understood. So that organ would need to be repaired. However, every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Perfect means it lacks nothing. It is complete unto every situation of life. There will never be a breakdown of that gift, nor will it ever need to be repaired, or we might need a reboot. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 17 tells us that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In this verse, the reference to man in man of God, man is used generally referring to all human beings. Doesn't matter if you're male, female, it's dealt with reference to sex or gender or even nationality or skin color. It's applied as in order to set a distinction between man, who is a human being, and God, who is spirit. Matthew 4:4 tells us, but he answered and said, it is written, man, that's the all-inclusive man, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This includes that which is written as well as that which is revealed by God. Hence, God has an answer to every question in life in order that we may know how to answer every man, as it tells us in the scriptures. God is light as well as enlightening. He is a revealer. In John chapter 2, verse 25, it says of Jesus, and need not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man because God revealed it to him. God showed him. God revealed to Jesus what was truly on the minds of those who questioned him, for God revealed it to Jesus and also gave him the perfect response to handle those questions, which many of them were only attempts to trap him in his words. The devil tries to portray God as being secretive. Remember back in Genesis with Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, the devil's deception, do you remember that? In Genesis 3, verse 5, it says, "For God," here's what he says, he's telling Eve, "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Because God's not going to reveal that to you. God's not going to show that. He's very secretive. But I will help you know. Every time the devil speaks about God, he lies. And the intent is to deceive you and blame God for it. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The word beguiled means to seduce, to lead astray, to be mentally deluded. So we tend to adapt the devil's words and come up with sayings like the Lord works in mysterious ways. That causes us to look to the mysterious to understand the Lord rather than the written scripture. Or it is one of the mysteries of God, and instead of becoming a doer of the good news, we wait for the mystery to be solved in our tea leaves, or have a dream and have it analyzed, or our fortunes told, or something as simple as, "Lord, if I should do such and such, let the light be green when I get to it." And so is it the Lord answering you, or is it your lead foot that gets you doing 70 through a school zone? You need to put out your fleece. Well, I'm glad we don't have to put out a fleece. I'm thankful for that. Now, it's written in the Word in Judges about Gideon. But imagine Gideon today. "Loretta, where's my fleece?" "Oh, Giddy, it was out in the yard, and that dirty thing, it was all dirty and messed up. I threw it in the wash, and it's right now it's in the dryer with your Make America Great Again t-shirt." Luke 1, we'll start in beginning in verse 1. "For as many have taken in hand to set forth an order of a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first," or from above is the text, "to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, beloved of God," verse 4, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Vine's Dictionary of the Bible says the word translated certainty denotes safety. It will keep you safe and it will keep your heart safe. That is why there are ministers in the body of Christ, so that we are not blown about with every wind of doctrine, or laying out our fleece to find out what is the will of the Lord for me. He has it written down very clearly. He gave it to wonderful holy men that spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we have teachers to help us and lead us through the word, but we can read it ourselves, and the Spirit of God will help us, that gift of Holy Spirit. The Father is indeed a nourisher, a protector, and an upholder. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2. And in verse 1 it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So, you know, we have the benefit of the written scriptures. I think upon what Connie shared regarding the quote from Pastor John Piper. He said, it is my job to make the message clear. It is the Holy Spirit's job to make it dear. As sons of light, there are two ways to reveal the Father of lights, or that he reveals to us, by teaching the written word and helping people see God's gift at work within them. We want to help people to do both, understand the written word and also have the Spirit of God at work within them to will and to do of his good pleasure. How does it do that? How does it work within us? Well, we want you to know both, and you also have the word to make sure that what you have received by God at work within you fits with the rest of the scripture. So it's not some mysterious thing that you happen to fall into. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. So how important is that to you? Well, let's look at Jesus' thoughts on the importance of God's gift in us. This gift is not a he or a she. The gift is an it. My dictionary says it is a pronoun to represent something inanimate. Well, it's really, God energizes it within us, and it's very animate. It's very animated, and we should become very animated with his gift at work within us. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. They don't have the ability, they don't have an organ to comprehend, that's capable to comprehend spiritual knowledge. But we have his gift within us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that gift within you, God can work within it, and that gift can relay it to the Christ in you, and that Christ in you can teach your mind, and then you will know it, and so then you could be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's important. This gift is not just to get us through this world or this life. Jesus tells us it will be in us forever. So how long do you think God believes we need this gift in operation? Well, we'll forever need that comforter working within us, but in a greater way. Though Ephesians says right now it's just a token. It's just being a token is enough to be more than conquerors within this life. But when the redemption of the full fullness of it is received, and we have spiritual bodies to go along with it, we will have responsibilities to be carried out by that power of God that's within us. What will it do for us? Well, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, we have four Gospels and all the testimony of Jesus' conversation with Paul, which lists what we should be doing right now. Like in Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins or remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Then in verse 20, back up in verse 20, it says, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and return to God and do works meet for repentance. Well, how are you going to do them if you don't have the Spirit of God at work within you? You might want to, but the ability is really not there. It's not in our flesh. It's in the Spirit of God that's within us. We have to have that Spirit of God so we can accomplish those things. There's a lot of things, you know, people want to do in life for God. But let's look a little more on Jesus' thoughts on this gift of Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In John chapter 16, verse 7, he tells us, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send it unto you. So how important do you think Christ wanted the disciples to receive that Comforter? Then next verse, verse 8. And when it is come, it will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. How important is that, that we walk by the Spirit? Because that will evidence and reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I suggest it might help you to re-listen to Ghani's teaching on abounding more and more in love so that that Spirit of God really reflects who God is and what he does. That God is love. And that we reflect and show forth that love in our actions, in our behavior, in the way that we think, in the way that we conduct our life, in the way that we conduct our business, that we really represent God. Our lives can still be changed in our speech, our manner of light. Let the light so shine, we reflect God's love, God's mercy, forgiveness and grace, and get a burning desire to lead other people into receiving his marvelous gift. We've received, we know how to help other people receive that gift so that they have evidence, they have the proof within them that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and that they have that marvelous gift, that they've been born again and born from above. In John 16, verse 10, of righteousness, because I go unto my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So who's going to get judgment?
The prince of this world.
That's what it says. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. This is prior to the day of Pentecost, before they received the gift into manifestation. Now he can tell us anything we need to know. Howbeit, when it, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth, for it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. So as sons of light, what should we do? We have been rescued from the injustices that are in this world. And as Connie told us, stop, drop, and repent, for we are overcomers. As many of you prayed in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's not just pray it, but act on it and help people to be born again and receive his gift into manifestation, that they may know and they may believe the same things that Paul believed, the same things that Luke believed, the same things that John believed, the same things that Jesus believed, that we know. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, much more than having been declared righteous now in his blood, we shall be saved through him from the wrath. We're saved from the wrath. That's what the scriptures tell us. Isn't that comforting to know that you have been saved from the wrath to come? Isn't that comforting to know that your future is sealed and it's wrapped up in God? And that he has called you to one side. That's what comforter means. It means to call to one side. He has called you to his side. And it's comforting to know that you have been called by the Father. So, very thankful we have that gift in us, and it can communicate to us, and we can understand because that gift works within us. And when that gift is energized in us, it can bring healing in our bodies and healing in the bodies of other people that we minister to, and our words that we speak, because they're his words. They are spirit and they are life. They also can help people get healed and get delivered and get them out of the confusion, get them out of being beguiled or mentally deluded and standing on the truth. So these are our benefits as children of light.